anybody in here ever have anything that really just, I mean, upsets you? Gets on your nerves? Yeah, yeah. Some of the women are going to the husbands right here. But well, I'll tell you what gets me. I'll be driving down the road, and of course I'm going the legal speed limit, of course. And I'll be driving down, and I see this car getting ready to pull out. There's nothing behind me for miles. And they pull out. And if I'm lucky, they'll get up to 35 or 40 in a 55 zone. And I'm sitting there going like, I can't take it. And I literally will be driving down the road behind them. And I'll see a turnoff coming, another road. And I'm sitting back there in my car screaming, turn! Turn, and they don't. Now, I know the fruit. One of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. I ain't got none of it. Okay, so we all have that problem. But I tell you something. Have you ever noticed that everybody that's driving on the road, if they're slower than you, I'm sitting back there going, "You moron! There's nothing behind you. 10 seconds, you could have been going 20 miles an hour. Not nobody cared." But no, they pulled out in front of me, slow me down. And then I get to the point that I'm driving along, and I'm just going down the road, and I'm enjoying myself. All of a sudden, somebody goes, phew, by me. And I said, you maniac. You know, they're either a maniac or they're morons, one of the two. Because after all, I'm the only one out there driving right, ain't I? Well, you see, that's the way we all think. We all think that my speed or my way to do it is just right. But in these verses right here, I'm going to read to you. It said, basically, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure. Pressed down, shaken together and running over, it will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told in this parable, can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take a speck out of your eye when you yourself fail to take the plank out of your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I'm going to keep going. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. That's a big one. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and yet you don't do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and put them into practice, I will show you what this is what they're like, okay? Like a man building a house who dug down deep and had a good foundation on the rock when the floods and the torrents come. Everything was fine. The house stood because it's well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation, on the sand. And the moment the torrent struck, that house collapsed and the destruction was complete. Let me tell you something. There are two realities, and all of us will buy into one of the two. One is either judgment and condemnation, or we're going to do giving and forgiveness. One of the two. And I've seen a lot of people go both ways. You know, there are people that are loving and will forgive you no matter what happens. And then there's some people that will put you down and criticize you. I don't care what you're doing. Okay? Sometimes you can't win. Now, for those of you who don't know me, I'm a marriage and family therapist, but have degrees in that anyway. Piece of paper on the wall, looks pretty, that's all I can say. Doesn't make you any smarter. Dealt with a guy one time. He was the most, well, I won't even, I'm in church. I shouldn't say that, but he was very critical of his wife. One day he wanted scrambled eggs. Next day he wanted over easy. And she said, okay, well, it looks like every other day he's doing that. So the next day she scrambled them. He said, I didn't ask you to scramble. I want it over easy today. So the next day she went fixed it over easy. He said, what is wrong with you? You can't do anything right. I want scrambled today. So finally, in her mind, she got the answer. I'm going to scramble one, and I'm going to do the other one over easy. And she stuck the plate right in front of him. He looked down at the plate, and he said, I declare, woman. He said, you done scrambled the wrong egg. And that's the way people are, man. We just, you know. From last week, verse 36 says, be merciful as your Father is merciful. God is in the forgiveness game, okay? He is there, but what are we in? And I'm going to tell you something. Ever since Adam and Eve walked the face of the earth, we are in the blame game. As soon as man hid himself and tried to cover himself, and I'm sure that they were little designer fig leaves that they sewed together so they'd be real nice and, you know, a little brand name on them or something. God come down walking in the cool of the day, called Adam. Where are you? He knew where he was. But you see, we felt embarrassed because we were exposed. And guess what? What did he do? Did he say, I ate from a tree? No. He turned around, she gave it to me. He blamed his wife. And his wife turned around to blame the serpent. And the old joke goes, the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on. Think about that for a minute. But the point of it is, we go on the attack, we go on the defense ever since then. And you ever seen anybody, you're talking to them and something comes up and they're not quite right with you? Now they tell us in counseling school, don't ever do this. Because it means you're not interested. It means I'm going to judge you. I'm not going to judge what you do, I'm going to judge you. And they come off as critical. Self-righteous even. And the one thing I've learned is people that are critical and will cut you down, they don't realize that they are like that. They think they're doing you a favor. Well, let me tell you something. Fruit is often used, and our heart's condition, what's in here, determines the path of our life. Okay? Fruit is also it's often used to describe outward actions, but I'm going to tell you something. Good fruit. Galatians 5:22-23 says, it gives us a starting place. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here's the deal. The more we allow the Holy Spirit reign in our hearts, the more we produce. And I look at that, and I always stick my, when I do it, I stick my name in front of it. Let's see. David loves people. Yeah, most days. David is joyful. Yeah, I'm good on that one. David has peace in his heart. Yeah. Not because of me, but because of God. David is patience. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. David is kind. Oh, kind. Depends on the day. Yeah. He's good. He's good. Well, some days I have to be good because my wife's with me. But if I'm left unsupervised, watch out, okay? And I'm just, it is what it is. Gentle and self-control. Self-control, no. Not me. I can't do that. But if we walk by the Spirit, we're not gratifying the flesh. We are giving glory to God. And that's what it's all about, folks. It is not about us. Jesus said, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. We're just branches. He's the trunk of the tree, man. We can't grow unless we're attached to him. And I'm going to tell you something. We need to daily communicate with him. We need to talk to him. I told one person one day, I said, you know, when I get to heaven and I'm standing there in front of my Lord, I don't want to have to reach in my wallet, pull out ID so I can prove who I am. I want him to know me by my voice as I keep talking to him. And he always listens. That's the thing. He doesn't always give me the answer I want, but he listens. You know, he does. So, and sometimes we need hourly, by hour, we need to repent and ask forgiveness. Because there's some days, let me ask you something. Have you ever wondered what would happen if a preacher's nailing up something and the hammer and he slips and he hits his thumb with a hammer? I had that happen one time. I was working with a preacher trying to help him hang sheetrock. He hauled back and hit his thumb. I mean, to the point that his nail finally fell off. And he turned around and said, "Praise God." And I looked at him and I said, "Don't expect that from me if I do it." Okay? Yes, I would love everybody to see Jesus in me, but the truth of it is a lot of David here too. I'm just saying. But you know, it's one of those things. We have to stay connected to the vine. We have to be able to run and not grow weary, as it says in Isaiah. Well, so here's my question. What is your life producing? What's your life producing as far as fruit? Are you building up or tearing down? Because I've seen a lot of people would rather tear down than build up. Critical. "I don't like the way you did that." Well, then why didn't you do it? That's what I say. Well, I come from a Baptist tradition. And when we ask people to do things as a pastor, you always get what I call "would buts." "Well, I would, but." "Will you lead this?" "Well, I would, but." And they got the book of excuses when they're born, I think. Sometimes it's a lot of them. And I've heard just about all of them that you can imagine. Here's the thing. When we're producing fruit, sometimes the fruit we have doesn't come out too good. It's bad fruit. You know why? And this is where I'm probably going to step in trouble here. But you know what's the problem with the fruit? You ever raise any fruit trees? I used to. Till the lightning split one right in half and it just fell over. We get worms in our fruit. You got worms? Y'all sitting there going, "What?" Some days I get brain worms because I get so mixed up I feel like a milkshake. I'm at that age where I can go down the hall and I'd be going into a room and I forget what I was going for. And I turn around and try to retrace my steps. And then all of a sudden something else catches my eye and I forget about what I was originally on and I'm doing this. And then it dawns on me. I know what I was doing. So I forget and leave this and I go try to get that done. And I come back and it's still there. It would be nice if little elves would come in and fix those things. But let me tell you something. There are bugs or worms, if you want to. Sometimes those worms are the things that test your patience. Okay? Sometimes it's that lack of money. How am I going to make it through? Sometimes it's a sickness. Or an injury, stressful situation at work. Maybe it's a difficult neighbor, or you're having problems in your marriage. The biggest worm I've run into is fear. And it's a worm that'll take you down. Okay? I'm gonna tell you, I used to run on squad, rescue squad, and I was in the back of the unit one night, and we had a young lady that wanted or had tried to commit suicide. She was in her 30s. Police were there. We were there. We were really working hard to try to keep her alive. But going up the road with her, once we'd stabilized her, I'm sitting in the truck. My medical training tells me that the hearing is the last to go. I'm sitting on the bench seat. She's laying here. My partner was in the captain's chair. And I said, "She needs to hear about Jesus." Even if I can just whisper that word in her ear. That's power in that. Let me tell you, there's power in that name. You don't understand. There is power in that name. And I bent down. I bent down. And I was going to whisper Jesus in her ear. And then fear hit. And I thought, what will everybody else in this truck think about me? And I sat back up and didn't say a word. I felt awful. We got her to the hospital. She lived for that, for the, you know, we got her there. I felt absolutely horrible. So at the time, I went and talked to my pastor. And I told him what was going on. He said, well, David, I understand it's hard sometimes. If you can find her and work it out, I'll go with you and I'll talk to her. And I went, praise the Lord. You know, because after all, it's his job, ain't mine. It's the preacher's job to go talk to people about that sort of stuff. It ain't yours. I got news for you. Yeah, it is. Amen. Yeah, it is. It's your job. Because you're going to run into people he will never run into. And sometimes you are the only Bible, you are the only Jesus that they will see. And you got a responsibility. So I found her. And we made arrangements. I was going to talk with her. He was coming with me. We had it planned for the next week on a Thursday. Tuesday night, I got a phone call from a nurse. Miss Knighton, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're not going to be able to come. And I thought, oh, gosh, what? You know, somebody done stepped in this and stopped me. She said no. On her seventh attempt at suicide, she was successful. And at that moment in time, there's a verse in Ezekiel, it's chapter 33, I think it's verse 8 and 9. I'm not going to read it exactly, but it says that God says that if we have a wicked person and we're supposed to warn them, or we have a person that needs that help, and we fail to do it, then the blood, their blood is on our hands. Folks, I got blood on my hands. Because now I know my brain tells me there were chaplains, there were psychiatrists, there were everybody under the sun that could have talked to her. But what if I was the last one that did? What if I was the last chance she had to ever, or the only chance she had to hear about Jesus? And I failed. I failed God. And he says, her blood's on my hands. And that's blood that ain't coming off. And my head says one thing, but my heart tells me another thing. And that very night, I said, I will never, never sit down, shut up, back up. I will proclaim Jesus no matter where I'm in. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. No more. It's not what you think about me. It's what he thinks about me. You know? Next night, I was riding with another crew. Had this poor lady, and I was starting to talk to her about Jesus, and I might as well have been talking to that microphone right there at the stand as much good as it did her. She didn't listen to anything. But on the return trip, I had a guy that just got out the Navy. And he was struggling with his marriage. He was struggling with everything in his life. He looked at me and said, that is the most awesome thing I've ever seen anybody do. And I said, what? He said, you talked to that lady about Jesus. In the back of a rescue squad, coming home from UVA, that man accepted Christ. He accepted Christ in his life. I was talking to the woman. I wasn't talking to him. But I'm going to tell you something. If you are not afraid to talk about Jesus, you don't know who's listening. Now, I will say his prayer was a little rough around the edges. But it's still. We bowed our heads to pray. And he said, Lord, I'm a... And I was like, I don't know if I'd use that word. But okay. But you see, the thing of it is, we are good at pretense and pretending to be Christians, to be God-fearing people. But the truth of it is, if we really don't let Jesus in our heart, if we don't surrender, and there's a difference in belief. Satan believes in God. He believes in Jesus. You know? The demons believe in Jesus. But do we surrender and let ourselves be taken by Jesus? And it's a big difference, okay? We get good at the lingo and talking about the Christian things. We get good at the routines of becoming to church and being involved in stuff. And yet we don't experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And what is happening with us is our hearts remain self-centered. We are angry. We are joyless. Even though we go through the motions, it's nothing there. It's empty. And I've seen so many. I've been like that. I thought I was serving God. I thought I was doing everything I should be doing. But one night it come to me, no, I'm not. And I had to let go and let God deal with it. We were talking one night about something, about God fixing things. And I said, you know, it dawned on me. My daughter, little kid, she wanted the toy fixed. It was broken. Daddy, can you fix this? Sure. I said, you got to give it to me. Let me have it. She gripped it even tighter. She wouldn't give it to me. Same way we are with Jesus. Okay? We hold on to those things because it's human. We don't want to let him have it, even though that's really the only way to fix it. Okay? There were a lot of Pharisees in Jesus' day, but there's a lot of Pharisees in today's world. Sitting in the church. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. Whether you want to hear it or not, Satan has somebody in every congregation. And they will do everything they can to cause disruption, disunity, and anger. If they can make you mad so you don't come anymore, they will do it. Okay, they will do it. And I've seen it. They stir people up. They love to stand back and stir with a great big stick. Okay? They stir it back here. And then they step back and watch and laugh. Because this one done got mad to this one. Only because somebody's stirring it. Understand, this is what's happening today in our world. I'll tell you something. God judges our thoughts, our motivation. He judges everything in our heart. Okay? And everything will be brought into light when we stand before him. Nothing will be left out. And I'm going to tell you something. A poor widow in a one-room hut can bear as much fruit as a televangelist leading giant crusades. It's not about how big it is. It's about how faithful you are. Okay? If you are totally surrendered to God, everything, and give him everything, he will use, I don't care what you have, how little it is, he will use it for his glory. Even a guy like me that has made so many mistakes in my life, he has used those mistakes for his glory, because now I help people that are making those same mistakes. And I joke about it. Well, my wife and I joked about it. We told our daughter, there is nothing that you can do that between the two of us, we've already tried it. Okay, if it was invented, there's been some few things invented since then, because, you know, but truthfully, you know, we could do that. But what is it that you're producing? What comes out of you? Yesterday, I had somebody, actually, it's kind of funny. This is one part I rewrote in this. And I said, yesterday, somebody told me they had a sleepless night. And I looked at them and I said, what, guilty conscience? You see, I just judged that person. Now, my wife, a lot of women have trouble falling asleep at nights because y'all's brains work all the time. Okay? Men, we have an off switch. We flip it off, we're done. We're gone. Okay? And I said, she asked me, how can you go to sleep at night so quickly? You just lay down and you're gone. I said, I have a clear conscience. You know what she said to me? She said, I think it's more like an empty mind. She could be right. I'm just saying. But, you know, if we play the blame game, then we will always lose, because the blame game has nothing to give us. We will always fall short. The truth of it is that the blame game is not on our side. It is Satan's power to disrupt everything in our lives. Okay? And if you're into that, you can't do it. And a lot of times, and I'm going to tell you this. Now, this is my experience, and I guarantee it's his and any other pastor's. You think you know what's going on in somebody's life. But until you're a pastor or an elder or something like that, and you walk behind closed doors with that person, you got no idea. You only know a teeny part of it. You don't know the whole story. But boy, that teeny part of it will judge you till 7 ways till Sunday. We'll criticize you. And we think we're being right when the truth of it is we're speaking out of ignorance. And you think, well, he'll tell me what's going on. No, he can't. Because that's private. And a lot of times between you and God. Okay? So, I put my cell phone in the other room. But you got your little cell phones. We put apps on them and all this other stuff. Met a guy the other day that still has one of the old flip phones. And he says, doesn't work half time, but he said, I don't want to get rid of it. Thought to myself, boy, would I like to take mine and throw it down in the creek somewhere. But put apps on it. What if there was an app on it that recorded every judgmental thing you said? Would you like that? Let me ask you, it said in the first scriptures, by the way you judge others, you're going to be standing there being judged. Do you really want to be standing in Jesus, in the face of Jesus with him looking at you going like, I'm going to judge you the same way you judged others? Man, that scares me. There's one verse in the Bible that scares me more than anything else, and that honestly, it's for every careless word that comes out of your mouth, you're going to have to give an account. Oh, that one frightens me to death. Because this is going to be a long list. How big is that file going to be of you? And if he retrieves that recording and he plays it back for you, think about this. David, I'm going to judge you by the standard you use to judge everybody else. Do you think I'd come out of the good? I don't think any of us would. Man, instead of falling on my knees and praying, I'd be having my face down in the ground and be so ashamed. So if you think you can survive being judged by the standards you want to judge other people with, you don't really know yourself, but God does. Judgmental people never think they're right, never think they're judgmental. All they know is everybody else is that moron. Everyone else gets everything wrong, not me. And I'm going to judge you because, after all, I'm perfect. I told somebody one day, I said, I'm not perfect. I'm extremely good looking, but I'm not perfect. I went on vacation. I asked me what I did, and I said, a whole lot of nothing. I'd get up, eat breakfast, go to read something, and I'd fall asleep reading it. And I'd be asleep for another 2 or 3 hours, get up, eat lunch, and repeat. And I told them I was trying to catch up on my beauty rest. They looked me straight in the face and said, you're still 30 years behind. You know? And when I look in the mirror sometimes, I really think my bathroom is haunted. Because I look in that mirror and I see this old guy looking back at me that I don't even know who he is. And then I look and I blink a couple times and realize, oh, that's me. It scares me sometimes. Because we don't look at ourselves the way God looks at us. We don't see the things that we're doing that really are disrespectful to God. Okay? Everybody else, they're the wrong ones. I'm the right one. But it tells me what you're like if you feel that way. Verses starting at 41. Someone who looks at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye but pay no attention to the plank of your eye. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you fail to take that long beam, that big stick out of yours? You hypocrite. And that's Jesus' words. You hypocrite. Take the plank out of your eye first. Okay? And then the verse 39, it talks about, the blind leading the blind. You know what destroys or makes leaders blind, pastors, elders, people in the church? It's not lack of knowledge. We know enough about Jesus. We can make a choice. You know what it is? A judgmental attitude. People will criticize you no matter what you do. And as a pastor, I've had to stand there and smile and take it. Simply because I know the whole story. They don't. But yet they will jump on me and criticize me and cut me down. But you see, I'm not living for them. I'm not there for them. I'm there for God. And God is the one that knows what's in my heart and knows what I'm doing. But if you don't have that, what that critical statement says, man, it cuts like a knife. Right down to your soul. And it's like, well, fine then. I ain't never doing that again. And that's the way you feel. And I guarantee you, some of you in here are just like the Pharisees. I'm not going to pick out people because I don't know you that well. But I'm going to tell you something. We need to stop and think before we say something bad. We need to look at proportions. How much is that plank in my eye versus the speck in somebody else's eye? So here's the thing. The next time you feel that criticism coming on and you look at somebody and you want to tell them what they're doing wrong. Now, I'm not saying we should ignore things that are wrong or sin. I'm not saying that. But when you start cutting them down, think about it. You got that big beam out of your eye? Or are you just looking at them? It's easy to see the sin somebody else is doing. It's not easy to see my sins. And don't be jumping on somebody just because they sin a little bit differently than you. Because I got news for you. Every one of us in here is a sinner. Amen. Still a sinner. Amen. So anyway. I always tell people, and sometimes I do some counseling, and when I'm telling them this, I've had people come in with a checklist, and they tick off everything wrong with the other person. Okay? And I look at them flat out, and I say, just who do you think you are? Do you think you're God? Seriously, I do. And I look at them and I say, every time you get ready to write something down that's bad about this person, or you don't like about this person, or you want to criticize them about, instead, make a list first. If you want me to listen to it, make a list first of the things you have done in your life to disappoint God. You ever do that? If you spend your time doing that, you will try to seriously look at that person with mercy and grace. And love. And that's what we're here for. To love one another. But that's not. All of this is great. But it's not the most important lesson that we have. Number one. The most important lesson is Jesus. He came. Let me tell you something. God left heaven. Come on this earth. And put on human flesh. To walk among us. He did not come to condemn us. But to save us. Okay. And he's here. Wherever two or more gathered. Well, there's more than two gathered. Guess what? He's here. And what I do, I don't do for my glory. I do it for God's glory. Okay? Here's the deal. Jesus is the only person that has ever walked on the face of this earth that could clearly see what the world is like and see what you're like. He could have condemned us. He's the only person that was righteous enough to do it. Okay? He could do it. He sees this world as depraved and distorted and dead. But that was his response was not to fold his arms, go like, well, boy, you've messed up. A lot of times, you know what? We get in that attitude, you know, well, thank the Lord I ain't as bad as that guy over there. Whew. You see what he's doing? No, look at what you're doing. Amen. Do you see this book right here? That's the same as a mirror. Hold it up and see what you're doing. How you rating in there with God's word? Here's the deal. Jesus came and he could have condemned all of us, every one of us. In fact, today he could come in here and point to you and tell you what's wrong in your life. And he'd be right. But you know what he did? That's not what he did. He opened his arms and he bowed his head and said, I will take your shame. I'll take your pain. I'll take the troubles that you're facing, everything that makes you want to cry in this world. I will take it. Bring it to me. Every sin you have, everything. And he opened his arms as they nailed him to the cross. But he said, bring it to me. You got problems? If you don't have problems, I'd like to talk to you, because obviously you're missing something. We all have problems. And we all struggle. Here's the answer. It's not me. It's not Adam. It's Jesus. That's the only answer. And I'm going to tell you something right now. And I know I'm going to do this. And I'm, you know, you're not maybe want to listen to me. Forgive and you be forgiven. Most of us right now, if you really need Jesus in your heart, or even if you don't think you do, you really do. You know how I know when I'm sitting with a husband and wife counseling, how I know which one is the problem? It's the one that thinks they ain't got the problem. And when that happens, I know, yeah, you are the problem. Okay? Here's the thing. We all need it. And I'm going to ask the guys, come on back up here and start getting ready. Because I'm going to put some challenge on you here. Okay? And then I'll shut up and turn it over to Adam. But everybody, every one of us in here, you need to come to Jesus. He's got his arms spread wide because he loves you. And he has loved you before you were born. For those that do the prayer team and everything and people that want to pray, I'm going to ask y'all to come up here too. And I'm going to tell you something. It's where we all need to be. I know it's a bunch of people in this room. We all crowd up. First time I was sitting in the church and did that, they started coming up. I had about 30 people coming up, and I thought, what if they're all after me. But you know what? They were after Jesus. If you're struggling, if you have problems, even if it's not serious problems, I'm going to tell you right now, up here is where you need to be. Folks, I'm going to ask these guys to come up here. Adam, too. I'll give it back to him in a second. But as they sing this last song, if you feel, even if you don't feel that you got problems, bring it to Jesus. If it's nothing else, just come up here and say thank you, Lord. The thing I didn't tell you was about my daughter. If you don't think that the storms of life will come, I got news for you. It's when they come. It's not if they come, because they are coming. I lost my daughter. She was 27 years old. 2-month-old baby. My grandson is now 9. Praise the Lord. In a long time, I said, why? Why, Lord? Let me tell you something. If you have never lost a child, you don't know what loss is. I will never recover. I deal with it, but I don't recover. And everything I used to think and my wife used to think was a problem in our lives disappeared. And for a while, I was mad at God. Why, God? Why? Why did you let this happen? And then one day I realized, it's not the question. God, help me use this for good. And I changed the way I thought from why God to thank you, Lord, for letting me have her for 27 years because she was yours to start with. I'm going to tell you something, bro. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. I'm going to tell you. All the things you think that are problems in this world, they don't mean nothing. I worked to have a nice house, to pay the bills and all this other stuff. I'd give it all to get her back. She was a door slammer. Made me so mad. But you know right now, what I wouldn't give to have a door slam in my house again. It still hurts. And there's not much we can do about that. But I know one day I'll see her again. If you have not let Jesus in your heart. This is your time.